appreciate that. And kind of picked up a theme. It wasn't just the fact that it's Memorial Day weekend, but the fact of the series that we're going through on what we believe. And I love how the Holy Spirit works, because he didn't plan this, that we're talking about what we believe about peace and war on a anniversary of a time that we celebrate those that have helped keep the peace by serving in times of war and times of peace. A lot of us, I'd have to look it up again. I didn't look it up this time, but if my history is right, Memorial Day weekend was first started either a little bit before or after the Civil War, in order to honor veterans. And it's a good thing that we do that, because the freedoms that we enjoy today are because of men and women that have served and have fought and died, so I can stand here today and freely proclaim the things of the gospel. And so I appreciate that. And so what's interesting, the sermon today is dealing with peace. And a lot of times, I love Washington, D.C., and I've been twice, and I don't even want to get into that. Every time I was in every important place I've been, imagine going to an important place that has a lot of neat things, and if you love history, and you basically have 24 hours to enjoy it. Yeah, there you go. Because you talk to anybody that goes to Washington, D.C., in 2 weeks is okay to maybe see all the monuments and different things and the history and all that. And that's a story for another time. I'm not bitter and better on that. But anyway, you see a lot of monuments. You see a lot of memorials. And I'm glad that we have them. And you ask the question, when is it right to go to war? And how do you live in peace? And we struggle with when people are fighting, and we struggle with peace, and we struggle to live in peace, and we can choose temporary peace, or we can choose true peace. We can choose to be a monument. A monument is just dead, and in the sense of it just reflects something, but a memorial continues to go on. And your action step today is seek true peace. Seek true peace. And that is the peace of Christ. Your action steps are going to be spelled out under the word true. So, I mean, your points today, I give you. And again, we're going through the series of what we believe. I'm a Christian. I know why I'm a Baptist. I'm going to choose the Christian thing first and why I'm a Baptist. And there's other Christians that aren't Baptists. I just want you in this church to understand what we represent and what we believe. And so when I read this statement, then I do a sermon on it. Notice we go to Scripture, and this is why this statement is this way. So let's look at the statement that we find on peace and war. Is the duty of Christians to seek peace with all men on principles of righteousness in accordance with the Spirit and teachings of Christ? They should do all in their power to put an end to war. The true remedy of the war spirit is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The supreme need of the world is the acceptance of his teachings in all the affairs of men and nations, and the practical application of his law of love. The Christian people throughout the world should pray for the reign of the Prince of Peace. I think that statement's pretty good and pretty close to what we're going to look at in the Bible. It's our duty as Christians to seek peace with everyone on the basis of what is right. Not what you think's right, not what I think is right, but what God's Word says is right. Seeking peace the right way. We need to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. I'll get into that in a little bit. What I'm talking about first is us as Christians. I'm not talking about as a nation. I'm talking about us as Christians. We need to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. And your first film, the only way we know the right way to peace is through Christ, with all the Christ who is the only one that can bring peace. So seeking peace means true peace comes only from God. This is the problem. People are seeking temporary happiness instead of joy through Christ. People are seeking temporary peace, and I don't even think I would call it peace, instead of the peace that Christ offers. True peace only comes from God. And when we don't understand that first, then we're aiming for everything but true peace. Memorial Day weekend, celebrating those who fought and died to bring us peace, And this broaches the question, when is it right to go to war? And what I'm going to do first, and what's interesting, I don't think America is perfect at all. We're all sinless, broken people. But in the past, I'm not saying necessarily right now, as I've gone through and answer this question, and this comes from the things that statutes of what our church believes and the Baptist faith and message, and we'll go over this in a few weeks on Wednesday night. I'm just breaking down, there's three options when country or individual is choosing peace. And then we're going to get into what God says. And so it broaches the question, when is it right to go to war? Many ways, mostly wrong, but there's three main ways. First of all, we hear the term pacifism, and that doesn't mean passy or whatever they're calling. We all call it a pacifier. I don't know what my kids are calling it for our new grandson. I haven't caught up on that. But the word pacifist means total rejection and opposed to all force and all armed conflict. And then I think of movies. Again, I'm just giving you the views, okay? Sergeant York, phenomenal movie. You can watch it. He was a pacifist. He became a Christian. And then we see the choices he made, and he was one of the heroes, I think, for World War I. And then, this is a rough movie, but Hacksaw Ridge is another example of, because of religious convictions, a pacifist went to war, and he saved a lot of people. But the pacifist believes war and armed conflict of any kind is the worst possible reality. And at some level, I think we would all agree with that. If we don't, we've got some issues. Most Christians aren't pacifists. We have wars, and there's always the possibility of wars, and people being slaughtered, and sometimes it's a necessity for force. But then there's the other extreme. You got the pacifists. We're not going to do it at all. And then on the other extreme, let's jump in any conflict, any fight. I don't need to know the facts. And that can be just as difficult as all. What we really need is a balanced view of war and peace, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But to understand war and peace, we must understand it from a biblical point and a biblical worldview. Look, what is the cause of war? It's the brokenness of man. You go back to after the garden, and you get Adam and Eve, and you have Cain and Abel. And you have the first murder, the first sin, the first cover-up. And this is after Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve choose not to follow God, and they had a perfect environment, and we're dealing with brokenness and the sinfulness of man and temptation, and that is the cause of war. And we'll get into that in a minute, but he says, in this world we will have trouble, and he says we'll have war and rumors of war. And again, if you're just focusing on that, that's a bad place to be. We just need to understand the reality that man is broken and sinful, and nothing will be perfect now without the peace of God, and nothing will be totally perfect until God makes it complete. Where and who can really bring peace? And it gets back to Christ. And so, first of all, when are we to be at war? No. Christian wars are fought with earthly weapons, but with I wanted to understand this. I'm reading my writing too, so you would understand part of it. Sometimes it's hard to read. When are we to go to war? Christian wars are fought with earthly weapons for earthly goals. Now, I want you to understand this. We need to understand, like, our VBS is on the armor of God, and we need to understand, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And so I want us to understand, my war is not between you and me or whoever. Yes, those things come physically, but and then you see where God's people have to go to war, and there's the difference between killing and murder, and when war is involved, that is not, if it is justified, that is not murder, that is defense. And we can find that in the Bible. But we need to understand, when is it right to go to war? Most Christians have adopted some of the moral relativism where it's relevant, or being honest in conflict situations when it's necessary. And we've developed the thing, three options: pacifist, then let's just jump on anything. Let's look at the middle one. Some of you have heard this, some of you have studied it, because you've been in the military. Just war theory. The factors of a just war, a right war, and you've got to be really careful about this one because war is horrible. Must be a just cause. The use of force must be for defensive, not offensive. And that reminds us of Pearl Harbor. I mean, they kind of knew it was going to happen. Not necessarily Pearl Harbor, but America. If you notice, America's not perfect. Sometimes America gets blamed for being too late on something. But I think the reason America's been too late on something is because of this Christian belief of, yes, sometimes you have to fight, but it better be just. And so, Pearl Harbor, on a Sunday, everybody doing their thing, wasn't provoked. So that's the first thing that, you know. And the second, appropriate force must be applied to secure a fair and lasting peace for all. We have the ability to nuke everybody several times over. But what would the cleanup on that be? What would, pardon my phrase, the fallout, both nuclear and physically, of that would be? That's overkill. These things have kind of fit into, and again, America's not perfect, but when I went through this theory, based on a Christian thing, you know, I didn't ask for it. We're not going to do overkill. And that it's a last resort when all other legitimate means of settling conflict have been tried and have failed. And it has limited objectives to what that will cause lasting peace. And so we need to understand that it's control. The goal must be a reasonable chance of success and a realistic end to conflict that will lead to a lasting peace. That's the just war theory. You know, but now let's get into what the Bible says about war. Matthew 24:6 says this: you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. Again, if you're going about the sky is falling, I wouldn't go there either. But the fact that we're going to have lasting peace here on earth without God and without what His Bible says, and the fact that we're broken people, either Jesus is a liar or a lunatic or told the truth, and this is His word. He says we're going to have wars, and we're going to have rumors of wars. This is the beginning. This is the sign of the end. This is spiritual warfare is the bottom line. The scourge of war is a reminder that the great war, Christ died, and it was given us true permanent peace, and He will return to fulfill that. See, I want you to understand, those of you that have chosen Christ as Savior, and do you realize that's a promise? It's a promise that He will fulfill and complete. He said He's going to return. He says He's going to make things right. And so we have faith that He's going to fulfill that. But for now, we are behind enemy lines trying to tell people they can be free. And again, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this present darkness. So what is the solution to all wars? The true solution to the end of all wars is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you can be at peace with God and with man. How can we truly find and give peace? Rightly seek peace with all. It means being a peacekeeper. And that means that price for peace was high. Because we talked about this today in our Sunday school class. One of the things people distort is how they see themselves. But the next thing they distort is how they see God. And so they don't see God as holy. That means perfect and has a standard. And so therefore, if God is not holy, we bring God down to our level. And when we bring God down to our level, there needs not to be a price for us to be at peace with God. If God is holy, He can't look upon sin. We see this at the crucifixion, that He turns His back upon Christ. Not because He didn't love His Son, but because He couldn't look upon sin. And the price is that cross that is behind Him, the symbol of what was paid. And so I want you to understand, those of you that have served and those of you that have had families serve, some of you know that that price has been high for us to have peace and for me to stand here freely, to speak freely. It has a price. Real Christian peacemaking by going and telling the good news that we can be at peace with God. One beggar telling another beggar where they can find food. Peace among nations can only come when people get right with God and can only come through Christ. Going to get in trouble? Who cares? We try to legislate when we should because we have a free vote, and the biggest problem is Christians don't vote. There's nothing political about that. We're in a country, the freest country in the world, and yet so many times we don't go vote. And if you sit there and complain about what's going on in our country and you don't vote, sorry, it's on you. And the thing about it is, most people don't have that. Peace among nations. But sometimes we think, well, if we get the government right and the right officials and all this stuff, it may make it better, but we're still dealing with sinfulness. We cannot create a utopia because man is sinful and man is individual. And even if we try to create all of it, somebody is going to do something that is against God. Again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. Rumors of war, continual. The fact that we need to look towards final peace. And we need to understand peace among nations can only come through the good news of Jesus Christ. When individuals get right. Somehow, we try to say if we get our country right, well, here's how we get a country right. Some of you know the term revival, and we think of it as just a series of meetings. But revival is when it's not that the fact you have been saved, but you turn back to God full bore. And when you study countries where they've experienced revivals, it begins to change the country. So here's what you do, Christian. You go somewhere and here's how revival starts. You draw a circle around yourself, and that's where revival starts. And this is why the gospel is important. Until God individually changes a heart, we will not have peace. And that's why the gospel is the core. Your next fill-in. Seeking truth. Peace means being truly right with God, saved by the grace of God. And that's how we can become a peacekeeper. You know, I'm saved. I got Jesus. But you know what? Every day I struggle to be a peacekeeper, you know, or peacemaker, excuse me, because one of those you don't want to be, and one of them is not biblical, and I've seen it destroy churches. A peacekeeper, that term was invented in 1910. A peacemaker is more permanent and surely takes God and the Holy Spirit to do. When this happens, when we get saved and have that peace, we can begin to look at peace with others. And so a verse we're going to look at, I quote this to you a lot and I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because it's all on me, okay, is Romans 12:18. If possible, so I'm not going to quote right because I can learn a different. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I don't like the middle part of that verse. I would rather it say, as much as it depends on them, I'll be at peace with them. And that's not the Bible. You may not want to put that in your memorization, but you can't ignore it now. You can't say, Jesus, I forgot that one. If possible, so much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If possible. We'll get into that in a minute. Paul, I encourage you to go back and read this chapter this week, Romans 12. And in the background, Paul's talking to Christians about ethics. And in chapter 13 or 12 here, he has some real deep verses on dealing with people. And we're called to love God and we're called to love each other. You know, in verse 18, if possible. Sometimes it's not possible. I gave you the just war theory. That's just dealing, but we've got to realize just wars here. In the sense of me as pastor, there's some things. I call myself a soft stone wall, but there's some things. It's not about going to war with you, but if sin is going to enter the camp of this church, there's some points. It's just we got to stop. We're not going there. It's not about going to war, but we're talking about conflict. But if possible, that means if you're able, that's how that's translated, to live at peace, harmony with others, do it. And we can only do, and it says with everyone. Well, everybody's easy to live at peace with. Yeah, nobody's difficult. You're not difficult because we don't have a distorted view of ourselves. Everybody's just easy, if possible. With everyone, really, God? Because there's some people, yeah, not so much. Yeah? It's easy to say, it's hard to do, especially if you try to do it on your own. If you try to do it without being saved, if you try to do it without the Holy Spirit, if you try to do it without being guided by the Bible, good luck with that. It's not going to work. Doing all this as a Christian means being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. I was in a church, and again in there, and not here, but the deacon said we're peacekeepers. Flashing red light. Because of the fact that I looked up the word peacekeeper, and it wasn't at 1910, which World War I was around that time, and afterwards and stuff, and countries being stable, and probably mainly Germany and stuff. And can you imagine a church where its leaders are just trying to be peacekeepers? Okay, let's put out this fire. Let's do this one. Let's just make everybody happy. Peacemaker seems more permanent. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have other things, but also the fact that one causing it, Jesus told us to be peacemakers. Because only He can make true peace. How in the world can we do all this? Matthew 5:9 says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Happy, that word means blessed. And peacemaker, those who love peace and are called the sons of God. So God's people should be people that make peace. Now, notice, as far as it depends on you, do you ever notice where you made peace and you did the right thing and that person's still not at peace? Never happens as a pastor. Everything I say, everybody enjoys, and I always get it out the right way. And no conflict. And if you believe that, I got some swampland in Florida to sell you. It's hard. Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45 says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Man alive, this is Jesus' words. Can't get around that one. Love your enemies. If you want to understand where the church, the body of Christ, is growing the most, it's growing not in America, but in other nations that are heavily restricted, and a lot of them where it's illegal to be a Christian, where they're being persecuted. Their churches are being burned. Their people are being killed. And you've got to have the Holy Spirit to love those enemies. We have the peace of God. We are the children of God. We have the power of God. Your next villain, seeking truth, peace, is ultimately up to the believer. It's our duty as far as it depends on us. You don't like that. I don't like that. Because when I get in a situation where I want to go downtown or be mad at someone, it's okay to be angry. It's not okay to sin in it. You got to deal with it, not linger there. Then that takes all the fun out of it. Half of them can't. I get it. The sarcastic people, when they're being funny, mean, and insulting, and nobody gets it. Oh, I get it. Because that used to be me a lot more often. And given the right amount of lack of sleep and the lack of coffee, and if anybody laughs at me, I'll be right there with them. It depends on me when I'm in a situation if I am going to make peace. And yeah, most of the time it stinks. Because most people don't know Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit guiding their life. And what I have to realize, and what you have to realize, Christians, at the end of the day, regardless of where that other person is, did I do everything I did that I was honest before God to make peace? And you've got to leave it there. How can we do this? The only way we can do this is through the Prince of Peace. You can have peace and bring peace to others. And what kind of peace does Christ bring? John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He has dropped all these bombs on His followers to say, "Hey, you know, we came in here really great. You know, everybody likes us. They like listening to me. You think I'm going to be the next physical leader? Guess what? I'm leaving. They're going to kill me, and you're going to be by yourself. But I prayed for you." And He goes on, "Take heart, because I'm leaving you with peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." God is really teaching me this. And I when I know what God's word says and don't obey it, guess what that is? That's sin. And so learning not to worry when God's told me to focus on Him. And the world's peace says this, at least I'm going to do my definition. Nobody's bothering you. Everything's going fine. Got enough money to pay my bills, and I don't get a letter from the IRS. The reason I say that is we have a P.O. box, you know, and so because of where we live, and for those of you electronical, I can see my mail, and so I decide, oh, I don't need to go to the P.O. box today because it's all junk mail, or Heather can do it, it's all her stuff, okay, whatever, you know, but anyway, so I'm dealing with a stressful situation, preparing to be focused on something, going into a place, and I get my little email thing, and boy, there's a nice letter from the IRS. Now, it's just showing the outside, but you can tell when it's a check and when it's not from just looking at it. And there was too many pages, and then you could see through it that there's a list of items showing one row of what you earned and one row what they think you earned. Okay, or whatever. And I try to do it upright. We've had an accountant, but you know, let's talk about peace. That bugged the crud out of me. Oh my goodness, we're going to owe some more money. It's like we're just rolling in it. You know, that kind of thing. And we're fine, okay? And then God was saying, really? There are people that are going through much more. I like going to Christian County Freight. There's a guy that greets you. He's a Christian man, a really loving man. And be in prayer, I think it's June 5th. His little 5-year-old granddaughter named Rose is going to have open heart surgery. You know what? Who cares if the IRS sends me a card and I owe money? Big deal. Now in sin, the old me, it's like, you know, to give that to God and not focus on your circumstances. It also helps me put perspective, I owe money when he's facing that. We got to understand, we try to make our pieces. Is anything bothering me? Do I have enough money? Is my health fine? But guess what? Life is hard. It's a series of ups and downs and in-betweens. And when we go to the Lord as my shepherd, guess what he says? He goes with us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because he gives us his peace, his presence to go through. So Christian, we're in sin when we're troubled and we're fearful. We may be troubled for a little bit, but as I get more obedient to God, my gap of worrying about stuff hopefully is closing, because I know the more I worry about it and don't pray, and the more I focus on that, the more I can't focus on God's peace, and the more I'm in sin. Who leaves it? Christ leaves it so we can live in peace regardless of the circumstances. Whose peace? Christ's peace given to us, those who believe. What's the difference on how Christ gives peace and how the world gives peace? The world's peace is temporary based on circumstances. And God's peace is consistent and eternal because it's based on Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we know that, then he says, don't let the heart, the core of us, be troubled, agitated, disturbed, and to be fearful. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Because Christ has overcome the world, and we will overcome through the Prince of Peace. Revelation 17:14 says this, these will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and those with Him are called chosen and faithful. Peace will ultimately be achieved through the Lamb of God, Christ. And that's why we can sing victory in Jesus. Micah 4:3. Yeah, that's my grandson. Oh, how did I get that verse? But it applies, okay? Micah 4:3 says this, He will settle disputes among many peoples and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. And they will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. And a nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? No weapons. No train. Only God can do that. And only God can do that when He restores everything. But that's what I'm looking towards. I mean, then you go in that section of Micah, and maybe Isaiah talks about the same thing. But us snake people, you spider people, that's your thing. I don't know why you're scared. But us snake people that are scared of snakes, can you imagine the day where the baby's going to play with the cobra or the adder? Can't imagine that. I was at a place in the middle of Springfield, and somebody comes in and says, there's a snake outside. And some people were excited. Other people were kind of freaking out. And one person was packing up and leaving. Okay, I'm serious. We all know how we feel. But the fact when true peace is established, I can't even wrap my mind around a snake being near me and being okay with it. The peace of Christ establishes the peace of the kingdom. So your next fill-in, seeking true peace means seeking eternal peace only through Christ, the Prince of Peace. Eternal peace only through Christ. Until then, wars and rumors of wars, until Christ comes, we will hear of war, and we must pray for the reign of the Prince of Peace. Even so, Jesus, Lord, come quickly. So where does it start? It starts with me. It starts with my relationship with God. It starts with my relationships with others. Until then, Christians are called to be agents of peace, real righteous peace, which we are an agent of the Prince of Peace. And so, as we celebrate Memorial Day, there were times where we were being biblical to go to war to help bring peace. But I think the war that we're fighting daily, it's interesting that our VBS goes into this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God so that you stand in the evil day. And when all you've done to do is stand, and then having girded and putting on the things that God uses to fight this war. A lot of you right now, you may be trying to fight something on your own. Good luck with that, because you'll get tired of it. You'll get in sin on how you do it. And some of you may be wanting to be a monument. Yeah, I stand for God. Read my plaque. Or a living memorial where he talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we offer ourselves daily as a sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of service. And a living monument means continually I'm pointing to the Prince of Peace, because I am striving to have peace in Christ in my life. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So I got a question for you. What peace are you seeking today? If you're seeking nobody bothers you and you have enough money in the bank and your health's great, good luck with that. How can you be a peacemaker at home? How can you be a peacemaker at church? How can you be a peacemaker at work? How can you be a peacemaker in your community? How can you be a peacemaker in this world? Seek true peace, the only peace that comes from God. And you got to ask the question. You got to be right with God. You've got to realize it's ultimately up to you, and you've got to seek eternal peace. I want to close with this scripture. Isaiah 11, verses 4 through 9. But he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed on the land. He will strike the land with the scepter from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with the command of his lips. Righteousness will be a belt around his hips. Faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the young lion, and the fatted calf will be together, and the child will lead them. Talking about Christ, or talking about the peace that we have. The cow and the bear will graze, their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like cattle. And an infant will play beside the cobra's pit, and the toddler will put his hand into the snake's den. And they will not harm or destroy each other on the entire holy mountain, for the land will be full of his knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. Yes, true peace can only be given and maintained through Christ. And so the question I have for you today, where is that in your life? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, need to receive him. But I think for most of us, here he goes talking about the news. I don't care if you listen to the news, but if you're listening to the news before you're into the Word, and it's so biased on both sides, if you're not trying to find something that just reports it, are you Chicken Little and the sky is falling? Spoiler alert, guess what? Sky's falling. Wars, rumors of wars. Christians, are you seeking God's peace? Are you being an agent of peace, pointing to the Prince of Peace? as we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation, you may need to just come and pray and lay something down. You may need to make a step of commitment. But whatever it is, you need to trust Christ and His peace more today. Lord, I just ask, however we need to be obedient to You today, that we will seek Your peace in all that we do. In Your name, Jesus, amen.